Well, hi, everybody, and it's been a while since I've been able to get back, and even this will be quite a short program because I have to deliver another broadcast on the Animal Kingdom quite shortly. So we're beginning page 109, and this is program number 46 in Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle. As you see, the last time I was able to do this was 4 days ago. That's actually quite a long time in terms of my preferences. So, in terms of the, what we did in the last program was important. The disciple is becoming an evocative and invocative center of energy, and his alignment becomes a potent factor in invoking a fresh flood of higher impression. And his magnetic aura becomes more and more sensitive, so he's able to respond to his environment. It says it's increasingly sensitive to what he evokes from his surrounding physical environment and from humanity. We have only to think about what the Tibetan can both invoke and evoke in his students through the instrumentality of Alice Bailey. He becomes a power station en rapport with hierarchy, and he receives and distributes in response to the evocative call of humanity and human need the energy received. So let me suggest he becomes one who can respond to the demand that humanity is making, whether inchoately, relatively formlessly, or whether as a clear evocation and request. He becomes a receiver of the light, and something I think we all want, a distributor of light in the dark places of the world and into human hearts. So he is, therefore, an invocative and evocative center. Note this coming word, for use by the hierarchy in the three worlds of human evolution. Now this takes us to a new section. It's a long section, and all that I'll be able to do today is relatively short, unless I get lucky later and can do something later in the night, but there's no guarantee of that. Lately I've had to just go with these programs that are approximately 1 hour long. So this one is Roman numeral 14. These are the major sections in the book. And the theme is the higher aspects of relationship. So let's see what Master DK means by that. The word telepathy, he says, has been used primarily to cover the many phases of mental contact and the exchange of thought without the use of the spoken or written word or sign. So here we have a definition, an important one, of what telepathy is. So many phases of mental contact and exchange of thought without the use of the spoken or written word or sign. Ordinary communication requires the spoken word, the written word, or some type of sign to indicate what is intended, but not telepathy. It's a more subtle type of communication. Again, an aspect of the supreme science of contact. So DK goes on and says, however, what is thus understood in this modern usage does not cover the higher aspects of relationship with the universal mind. Is the universal mind found on cosmic levels? In a sense, yes. Is an aspect of the universal mind to be found on the atomic plane from another perspective? Yes. So, this is a modern usage of the term telepathy. And it doesn't cover relationship, the higher aspects of relationship with the universal mind. Well, let's think about this for a second. The term universe, although used today in astronomy to cover some kind of grand totality, is used sometimes less expansively in occultism. Galaxies are called island universes. And when we talk about the universality of Aquarius, we're talking about something that pertains to our solar logos. In a sense, our solar logos and his solar system are a kind of lesser universe. I think that here we have something that the universal mind that relates to the cosmic mental plane and the reflection of the cosmic mental plane on planes which are part of the cosmic, etheric, physical plane, the plane on which, taken as a whole, we undergo our development, and on which even the Buddha and the Christ are still undergoing their development. They are not, they may have had a cosmic touch, the Christ touching the cosmic astral plane and the Buddha touching the cosmic mental plane, but that is not where their focus of attention remains steadfastly continuous. Notice he does use something that should alert us. He calls it modern usage. I suppose there are older forms of describing telepathy which do not take some of these factors, more subtle and elevated factors, into consideration. Okay, so DK goes on and says, the third aspect, that of intelligence, is involved when interpretation of contact occurs. So let's see how we can do this. I'd like to maybe put this in some kind of green, well, you know, it's adequate green color. The third aspect, that of intelligence, is involved when interpretation of contact occurs. Now, what about this interpretation of contact? There are many contacts, and some of them remain rather vague and unapplied. But there comes a time when the ability to formulate word forms, maybe symbols, occurs within the consciousness of the disciple. And thereby, he is able to be much more definite in contacting and assisting others. He's able to bring down the, at first, rather vague sense of what kind of impression occurred. This is largely through the use of the third aspect of the spiritual triad, or the abstract mind, once the antikarana process has really begun. Now, the second aspect, that of love wisdom, see, the first being the related to the primordial ray, that's the intelligence part, and the love wisdom related to the divine ray, and they do go together, especially on our planet, which has its second ray soul and third ray personality. So let's So love wisdom, which is always a sensitive factor, maybe the most sensitive of all the rays, or the ray inducing greatest sensitivity, is the love wisdom ray. So I'm kind of putting it in the indigo color. It's the factor which makes higher impression possible. And this it does whilst that aspect is developing or in process of coming into functioning activity. We do seek to be impressed by ever higher points of tension, or, as it says in the title here, higher aspects of relationship. And we seek to know what it is and from whence impression has come, and then we seek to engage with that impression. So you have a positive feedback loop, and we seek to invoke and consequently evoke from other human beings, and in a sense from other kingdoms of nature, a certain effect which can arise when the impression is or allowed to get through, or manages to get through. So the second aspect is that of love wisdom, and it induces a kind of sensitivity which makes higher impression possible. Maybe many fourth-ray people think of themselves as very sensitive, but they oftentimes at first lose control, which the second ray tends not to do. Okay. Now, we have a, let's just say love wisdom is developing and coming into functional or functioning activity. Okay. And thus it does. Well, I'm going to let you research this on your own. How telepathy has evolved in its more modern usage. The science of telepathy, the science of invocation and evocation, the science of impression, on which the Tibetan spends a lot of time. All of these supportive of the great supreme science of contact. So, only straight telepathy is possible during this developing process. That's what he's telling us here. We're developing a love wisdom sensitivity and straight telepathy. Whatever he means by that is what is possible. It's of two kinds. And I think so, what are these? Well, number one, sympathetic telepathy, or immediate understanding, awareness of events, apprehensions of happenings, and identification with personality reactions. What does he call this? Sometimes involuntary telepathy, something like that. But sympathetic is another way of looking at it. We feel what other people are feeling and what they are going through. And probably we can find all of these as important. There's another name, I'm forgetting it now. It's been a few programs back, It has to do with not true mental telepathy. It has to do with something that we feel from the solar plexus. And he has used examples of a mother's connection with the child. Maybe the child is in another room, but the mother knows that something is not right. This is that kind of telepathy. It's not really mental, per se. It's based on the a preliminary of identification. Now, DK tells us that this kind of telepathy is all connected with the solar plexus activity of the personality, and this, when the love nature or second aspect is unfolded or unfolding, becomes the seed or germ of the intuitive faculty. Now somehow that's important. I think the phrase that he uses earlier is instinctual telepathy. Then there's mental telepathy, and then there is soul telepathy, and then the true soul gets involved, which is triadal. See, we must remember that the true ego is actually the spiritual triad. The egoic lotus causal body has some important connection or claim upon this higher type of telepathy, but then, in a way, so does the monad. If you think about the spiritual triad, it is the true soul, but at the same time, it is an extension in three of the monad. Now, the monad seems to be unitary, but it too is a triad. And even that which we find upon the logoic plane, beyond the monadic plane, has a kind of triad behind it: Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now this sympathetic telepathy, that is what it is called, sympathetic telepathy. And what is sympathy? Perhaps it means feeling that you are of the same body. The sim part is the same, and pathos has to do with the vehicle itself. Of course, we also have, interestingly, the word pathetic there. We feel the errors of others, and we make a judgment regarding the consequences of those errors. So this sympathetic telepathy, I want to maybe make a little bit of a so it is, we might say, if I can say it, oh, that's not what I want. Instinctual telepathy. That's what we're, another name for what we're dealing with here. We hardly know why we feel what we feel. But at the same time, something races through and informs us of a certain condition. This has to do with crowd consciousness, with the mass mind, if we can call it the mind, mass reaction. Something sweeps through and has an effect on the outer plane, even though we may not know where that comes from. It is an example of the mass consciousness. And we can see that if the sign Cancer is involved, that mass consciousness, that instinctual telepathy, that sympathetic telepathy will be promoted. There are certain images that are difficult to get out of one's mind. There was a kind of insurrection in the American capital, and a mob, well, maybe I should even put this down as mob psychology, swept through the building, driven by some kind of force which was beyond real rationality or true mental telepathy. It caused them to do very dangerous, violent things. And maybe they didn't even know why they were swept into such violence. So let's get these ideas associated: sympathetic telepathy, instinctual telepathy, mass consciousness, mob consciousness, or mob psychology. Now we really have moved beyond the solar plexus transmission. It does exist, but it's not where we should be focused. The solar plexus activity of the personality is filled with glamour. With confining, misleading, distorting impulses, which do not take us to a higher goal. They will not lead us to a truth. They lead us further into the swamp. You know, as I've said before, it's kind of like the light of error, the swamp light, the Irrlicht in German. And there in the swamp, that's where we really have to confront the Hydra. And if we think we don't have the Hydra, or have somehow banished the Hydra completely, I suggest we think again. Because some of these Hydra-like impulses can occur relatively late in our development, maybe not the whole idea of sex, money, and comfort, maybe not the ideas or thoughts or tendencies of fear, hatred, and ambition, but pride, separativeness, and cruelty, which are mental heads of the Hydra, these have been around for quite a while, and show themselves at a later date. Even in the fairly advanced disciple. It's always a shame when that happens, but it does happen. Pride, separativeness, and cruelty. Now, what will get rid of those is the love, wisdom, energy. So this whole sympathetic telepathy tendency, it's all connected with the solar plexus activity of the personality, the solar plexus being positioned below the diaphragm. There are between the shoulder blades, the heart center, there's also a kind of manassic center that very little is discussed, about which very little is discussed. And there is also a kind of solar plexus related chakra in the pranic triangle above the diaphragm, whereas the solar plexus is below the diaphragm. So all these things we've been looking at here, which is very, or are very personality centered, they all are part of an identification with personality reactions. Now, the Christ was the entire process is therefore, says the Tibetan, astral Buddhic, and involves the lower aspects of the universal mind as an agent. Now, on the mental plane, we do have the egoic lotus causal body, and from a certain perspective, we could call that structure and the consciousness inhering within it the lower aspects, a lower aspect of the universal mind. We have to realize, of course, that the spiritual triad feeds and utilizes the egoic lotus causal body. Okay, so I'd like to maybe I'm going to find a kind of different color. Now, we are busy trying to reach the soul. It is the foundation of our antikaronic work. We tend not to think so focally upon what the antikarana will yield when it is built. But contact with the soul is the very first phase of building the antikarana. Now, what are we looking at here? We're looking at a developmental process, and only straight telepathy is, in fact, possible. Only straight telepathy. And then sympathetic telepathy is of one kind. And then comes this mental telepathy, or the interplay of transmitted thought. Now, this is a different thing altogether. And we will consider that. Okay, friends, so mental telepathy is the, what should we call it, the second of the straight types of telepathy. Only straight types are possible at this stage. Now, there's a lot to be done here, and I do hope later tonight that I can do something. This is going to be, unfortunately, a relatively short program. Mental telepathy, or the interplay of transmitted thought. This is different from transmitted feeling. The reason for which is rarely understood. Though this is a constant phenomenon, says the Tibetan, among advanced intellectual people, it is still scarcely recognized. Its laws and modes of expression are as yet unknown, and the best minds and interpreters on the subjective levels still confuse it with solar plexus reactions. I think that's an interesting statement. It shows you that we're not very advanced yet in this question of telepathy. It's a constant phenomenon among intellectual people. Okay. It's still scarcely recognized. It's laws and expressions, modes of expressions, are as yet unknown, and the best minds and interpreters on subjective levels still confuse it with solar plexus reactions. So we have a relatively undeveloped process here, even though a very important one. It's a type of straight telepathy. It is a relatively new and unexplored science, says the Tibetan, but the range of its activities is not astral, and therefore related to the solar plexus center, for the substance in which this in which this science is carried forward is not astral substance, but mental substance, and therefore another vehicle is involved and employed, that of the mental body. Well, that seems, in some ways, I would say, pretty clear. Okay. So let's just put a few things in there. A new and unexplored science, range of its activities is not astral and therefore related to the solar plexus, and the substance is not astral substance, but mental substance, and another vehicle is involved or employed, that of the mental body, but it certainly will require mental focus in order to participate in this mental telepathy, not the instinctual, not the sympathetic, not the mass consciousness, something different. I think maybe we can understand even how Leo, with its fifth ray, might become involved here. Because Leo takes the mass consciousness and draws it to a point of distinction, a point of individuality, a point which is mental and which is separated from the vagueness of abstract consciousness. Okay. This mental telepathy, what about it? It is the seed or germ of higher contacts and of impressions coming from higher levels, higher than the Buddhic or intuitional plane. Now, maybe we have to call this the Atmic plane. The impressions will come from the Atmic plane, which is a plane of will and a plane of mind. This type of telepathy is related to the higher aspect of the universal mind, to the intelligent will. Well, that sounds very Atmic to me. But, of course, we can take it even higher if we want to go on to the cosmic levels. In both cases, the lower aspect of love, emotional and sensitive astral response, and the pure love of the soul are involved. Okay. And we, you know, the universal mind, of course, how high do we want to go? Certainly to the cosmic levels. But there are reflections, and those reflections on the lowest of the great cosmic planes, cosmic, etheric, physical, have a reflection of universal mind. So mental telepathy is the seed or the germ of higher contacts, impressions. These contacts are impressions coming from levels higher than the intuitional plane. And it is related to the higher aspects of universal mind, to the intelligent will. Now, maybe we have to think about the cosmic mental plane, but we can certainly think about the Atmic plane in this respect. Related to the higher aspects of the universal mind. Now, if the universal mind, as it demonstrates on the cosmic etheric physical, I say the lowest of the cosmic planes, on this level of consideration, then indeed I think we have to look for an origin upon the cosmic mental plane. Now, these are just words to us. When you think that the consciousness of the masters is largely focused within the spiritual triad, except for some of the exceptional masters, we have to think that we have to take into consideration the cosmic level of the mind as a point of emission. They will be, those levels will be the higher aspect of the universal mind. But we notice that in both cases, the lower aspect of love, emotional and sensitive astral response, and the pure love of the soul are involved. When this is done correctly, love is retained. And when it's done in a cold and willful manner, which is selfish, then love is not retained. And that is what happened during the Second World War. Okay. Well, friends, this has been a really short program. And but at least it's something, you know. So I'm going to basically bring this down, and I have this longing to carry on further because it's such an important section. So this has been the end of program 46, and today the 14th of December. And it's gone to page 110, no, just one page. And here, maybe, we can continue. I won't put the today's date down, but I will be hopeful. TEV. VEC, and it would be page 110. So I really have no more time left. I have to make this work quickly. And when I do that, I oftentimes get into a rush and I make a mistake, which I don't want to do. This is Program 46. and I will send this out later. Okay, and so far, let's see if I can. Do it this way. Because time is a wasting. No, that's not going to be correct. We've taken a look at two forms of straight telepathy, and we hope to enlarge upon that subject very shortly. That's not doing what I wanted to do. Let's see if that will help a little bit. And yes, that ought to do it. That ought to do it. Yes. That should help. And I'll put it on browse. And here is the telepathy collection. And we'll make this 46, and in a little later, when I can, I will send it out to you. Right now, I cannot because I have to do this program. Tuya would normally be doing it, and I would be the bad engineer, but at the moment, that is not what can be done, unfortunately. Okay, friends, so that's the end of this, and many blessings and love from all of us, and good absorption from Tuya and from me and from the entire communications team. We'll talk to you before long, and I'll stop this recording.